Oh, good morning. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Huh? Wow. Amazing. Poland, Germany, France, Texas. Wow, it's great. If you're from outside and you're visiting, would you stand up just so we can look at you for a minute? You're visiting from outside? Yeah. Wow. Okay. Wow, that's amazing. Great to see you. Cyprus, amazing. We have a lot going on in our service this morning and then our whole week is convention week. Isn't that great? Today is Father's Day, so I have a quote from President Ronald Reagan, and this is so... We've had presidents. I have one from Teddy Roosevelt, and we have Woodrow Wilson. These were men that really were believers, and they really saw the value of our country, also the value of the Bible, and the value of the family. Ronald Reagan said, "The family has always been the cornerstone of American society. Our families nurture, preserve, and pass on to each succeeding generation the values we share and cherish, values that are the foundation of our freedoms. In the family, we learn our first lessons of God and man, love and discipline, rights and responsibilities, human dignity and human frailty." I like that. That's a great... The family. Our families give us daily examples of these lessons being put into practice in raising and instructing our children, in providing personal and compassionate care for the elderly, in maintaining the spiritual strength of religious commitment among our people. In these and other ways, America's families make immeasurable contribution to America's well-being. Today, more than ever, and I think that this is about 1982, today, more than ever, 40 years later, today, more than ever, it is essential that these contributions not be taken for granted, that each of us remember that the strength of our families is vital to the strength of our nation. So to the fathers today, we want to just salute you for your effort, your loyalty, faithfulness, your failures, and getting up again, and getting up again, and getting up again. Our failures, our inefficiencies, our troubles, and our struggles. But keep at it. Our families are important. And if you're a father, you have a great responsibility, and God is with you. And you're at church this morning, a good place to be, where you get the encouragement and the edification and the grace to go on and not stop and not turn back and not quit. Put your iPhone away, put your smartphone away, and talk to me. I'm your dad. Look at me in the face. Let's go fishing together. Let's have a talk. Let's read a book. Let's play chess. Let's care. Let's gather. Let's make dinner. Let's care for mom. We're a family. What a blessing. In that family, so much happens that it becomes fundamental to every other thing in life. Loyalty, trust, honesty, integrity, humility, submission, and accountability. Oh, wow. We got a lot to say this week. This week will be a great week, won't it? We're praying for it. Thank you so much for coming from far away to be with us this week. And we believe we gathered for Christ's sake. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about Jesus. Everything that we're saying, everything that we're doing glorifies God. This life we're living, it's all about Jesus. Every bit of it. Yeah. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers and to all the mothers. Thank you for having such patience with us. Father, we pray that you would bless these few thoughts this morning, and grateful, as we've heard, to just to be in the house of God. There is not a better place to be, and we appreciate so much our ministry. And so grateful that we're just on the verge here, starting a week that will be memorable, and a week in which you will, again, get a chance to pour courage into our hearts. And we're eternally grateful for that. Bless these words now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could open your Bible to Psalm 90, just read a verse there. And while you're turning there, think of this promise in Deuteronomy 33:27. It starts out by saying, "The eternal God is your refuge." The eternal God is your refuge. Had some dinner last night with some friends, and we were discussing the nature of our culture, the times that we're living in. And I think all of us agreed, yep, you know, the dark clouds are on the horizon and drawing ever closer toward us. And one of the brothers said, "Well, you know, so what do you think? I mean, are you concerned?" And my answer was, "No, not really, because nothing has changed about God. He remains the same." Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. We can't say that about anyone else. We can't say that about anything else. Especially, for instance, let's say gas prices. They're always changing. Beautiful promise in Malachi chapter 3. God says, "I am the Lord God. I do not change." That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because you know and I know we would have been consumed a long time ago if God changed. What if he changed his mind about us? What if he saw something in us that would result in his removal of his grace? And you know, we can't live. We live in a world where people are being strangled by shame and a culture in which life just, for a better way of saying it, guilt sucks the life out of our souls. But praise God, grace restores it. What this life takes away from us, God says, "I have a measure of grace that is going to replenish you, strengthen you, and give you everything you need so that you can run this race and finish strong." It's just the grace of God. So Deuteronomy 33:27, "The eternal God is your refuge." And then the last part of that verse says, "And underneath are his everlasting arms." So he's the eternal God. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I remember years ago, Pastor Stephen saying from the pulpit here, that even if you fall, you can only and always fall into the everlasting arms of God. Because they're underneath us. Never to be removed because of bad behavior. Never to be taken away because, again, as we mentioned, he might have seen. This whole idea of God discovering something about our lives that perhaps he didn't see or realize before he called us is absurd. In other words, when God called each one of us, when he chose us, he knew what he was getting. And shocking to us is that he chose us anyhow. Despite the fact that he knew, you know, it's like when Pastor Shallow was talking about fathers and he said, you know, faithful, loyal, kind, you know, always, and then he mentioned, and then failures. And I thought, yeah, that part I can relate to. All of the other things, it's like, well, maybe once in a while I get a little glimpse of those things. But failure, yeah, I can identify with that. And I remember, you know, one of those moments with my youngest daughter and realizing that I had made a terrible mistake, and then having to go to her and as the father and to humble myself and to say, you know, I was wrong. I made a terrible mistake. And I need you to forgive me. I need you to give me grace. And I remember what a moment of enlightenment that was for her when she said, she realized, wow, you make mistakes too? You fail just like we do? And I was like, yes. And just like God has given us grace and we give you grace, now you have to turn around and learn to give us grace. Because we're not going to make it in this life without God's amazing grace. Amen? So, again, Deuteronomy 33:27, what a promise. The eternal God is your refuge. And our refuge will always be there. That's why when I was asked the question last night, are you concerned? Are you ready to push the panic button? And I think our attitude is no. They said, but the times are getting darker. Don't you think that this world is unraveling and will be brought to a place where it will just, you know, you won't even be able to survive in it? My attitude was, yes, it's getting darker, but what a great opportunity for you and I to reveal the light of who Christ is. Like, just like the darker the night, the brighter the light. There's just more opportunities for us to serve, more opportunities for us to preach the gospel, more opportunity for us to help wounded people get back on their feet, more opportunity for us to reveal the grace of God that we have so bountifully received. And then Psalm 90, verse 2, it says something amazing. It says that before the world began, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This is where we find our courage. In the everlasting God. I mean, I read a verse the other day when, in Acts chapter 20, when the Apostle Paul was, you know, just carrying on his ministry, and the Holy Spirit said to him, listen, Paul, wherever you go, whatever city you go to, bonds and afflictions await you. And if someone, you know, else perhaps heard that, they might say, well, then I won't go to those cities. I'll stay clear of those places. But it really didn't matter. Wherever he went, bonds and afflictions would await him. But then he responded by saying this, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself. I'm going to finish this course that God has mapped out for me. And I'm going to fulfill this ministry of testifying to the grace of God. Three things he said, my life, my course, my ministry. Where did he get the courage to say that? You know what his answer would be? My God. My God, the eternal God. My eternal refuge, my hiding place, my fortress, my strength, my redeemer, my friend, my counselor, my strength. He's everything. So I love Psalm 90, verse 2. You know, before the mountains were brought forth, ever you did form the earth, and were even from everlasting. In other words, God has always been, and he always will be. And then another verse that I love so dearly, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. It says, thus saith the Lord, the mountains shall depart, and the hills will someday be removed. But then he said this, but my kindness, my grace will never depart from you, says the Lord, who has mercy and compassion upon you. It's incredible. And it's just like God to take the most fixed and immovable objects that we know here on the planet, mountains, hills, and he says, someday they will be gone. They will be removed. The very God who said that I existed before the mountains were even formed and the earth was even made is now saying someday they'll all be removed. But the one thing that will never change, the one constant that we can count on, is my kindness. It will never be taken away. And that's where we find our courage. That's where we find this will to just keep moving forward. Because in that little video clip, you know, I saw it very clearly. A younger version of Pastor Schaller and myself. Right? But, you know, but we're still here. Now, why are we still here? Because our God is an eternal refuge. Because underneath are his everlasting arms. And it's just like Paul could say, hey, my life, my ministry, my course, yes, but he would also say that I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And he said, I love what he said next. He says, and I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I. He qualified it because it sounds like he was boasting a little bit. You know, nobody worked as hard as I did in the kingdom. Nobody labored any more than I did. But he qualified it and he said, yet it was not I, but the grace that was in me. God's grace, eternal. God's favor toward each one of us, eternal. God's love, an everlasting love. God's mercies, new every morning. God's strength, yes, I'll find a way to perfect it, even in the midst of your weakness. God's power, it says it's going to come through us. It's already at work in us, in Ephesians 3:20. What great promises God has given us. So when the world just continues to spiral out of control, what will we do? Will we panic? No, we won't. In fact, the darker it gets, I think in our hearts we realize just more opportunity to preach Christ, more opportunity to raise the banner of God's love, more opportunity to look to the one who promises to pour courage and strength into our hearts, because we do. I mean, I'm not denying the reality that we live in a world that, you know, shame really does, it just strangles people, and guilt really does suck the life out of our souls, but grace always replenishes it. And there will never be a time where God's grace will not be sufficient. He says it will always, my grace will always be sufficient. So if the weakness doesn't disappear or go away in our lifetime, what can we count on? God's grace. If the affliction is not removed, then what can we expect God to do? Give us more grace. If the trouble doesn't go away, what can we expect from God? That his supply of grace will not only meet whatever the need is, but it will exceed it. It will go beyond it. Because, again, we're worshiping God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that is already at work in our lives. So I think that this conference, this convention, is so timely. Because the one thing that you do not hear in this world today, in our culture, in our society, I think wherever you live on the planet, the one word that you don't hear, you hear about fear, you hear about terrorism, you hear about a potentially collapsed economy, you hear about dread and all of these adjectives, but the one word that you don't hear is courage. And thank God, we're going to gather together all week long, and that one word we will hear more than any other word, because God stands ready to pour it into our hearts. Amen? I was thinking the other day with Pastor Ben was on the radio, and he was talking about Naomi, and when she, you know, she came, she went into the land, and she had everything, but when she came out, you know, she came out empty. It says that she went in full, but she came out empty. And you might think, you know, when you read that, the tendency is to think, oh, what a shame. No. No, we at some point in our lives we were full, and maybe in the worst way, full of ourselves, right? Full of our worries, our troubles, our fears. But to come out empty simply means that now you're in a place where God can fill you. I don't mind, you know, looking back and say, oh, once I was full, but now I am empty. No, that's not so bad. Not when you think that God stands ready to fill you with his grace, with his forgiveness, with his love, with his mercy. And then the promise that no matter how bad things do get, He still says, underneath are my everlasting arms. And those arms are strong enough to hold us. Those arms are strong enough that we could say to our brothers and sisters who believe they can lose their salvation, those arms are strong enough to keep us. Amen? Because you and I know in 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept how? By our own good decisions, by our own, you know, consistent faith, by our own ability to, you know, study more, pray more, give more, be more. No, we are kept by the power of God. And when we realize how powerful God is, that just starts to pour courage into our hearts. So we live in a world that just kind of wants to suck the courage right out of our hearts, but we keep gathering together with God's people, and God says, I'll just keep pouring it in until it overflows. And then you'll have a measure to give to others as well. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We're just so grateful this morning as we're just on the verge of starting this week together. We know that you're going to move, you're going to speak, you're going to visit us, you're going to heal, you're going to deliver, you're going to put the wounded back on their feet, you're going to strengthen the weak. The poor are going to walk away from this conference saying, I am rich. We're just so grateful to be in your presence. Yes, Lord, before the world began or ever you had formed the earth and the world, you have been from everlasting to everlasting. And then after that world was formed, and then you said that the mountains, the hills, well, they're going to be removed. But the one thing that will remain is your great grace. And Lord, we need that grace, perhaps now more than ever, because we understand, we realize what's happening to this world. We know that it's all going to be brought to a climax, to a culmination. But we also know how good you are, how faithful you are, how much you love us, how much you care for us, how you promise to never leave us or forsake us. So each one of us can say, like the Apostle Paul, my life, well, it's not dear unto us. There's something more valuable than my life, and it's that Christ lives in me and is revealed through me. And that course that you've mapped out for each one of us, Lord, give us the grace to run that course. Give us the strength to be the people that you intended for us to be. And then our ministry, Lord, each one of us has a personal ministry. We're called to a ministry in a larger sense, but each one of us has a personal ministry, and help us to fulfill that ministry, because you are our eternal refuge. You are our eternal God. You don't change. If you changed, that would change everything. But because you don't, we know that we will not be consumed. In fact, we know more than that. We know that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. So we're grateful, Lord, just thankful to be here this week. And as we close this morning, if anyone is here, maybe you've never made a decision to ask Christ to come into your heart, be your Savior. Make that decision this morning. Start an eternal convention in your soul with God. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Cleanse me of my sin. Accept me forever into your family by grace through faith. I believe you. Anyone here, if you want to receive Christ, just raise your hand. Put it up, put it right back down. Anyone this morning? Lord, thank you. We're grateful people this morning. Grateful that we have the eternal God as our refuge. And thank you for those everlasting arms. In Jesus' name, amen.